again. I might mention that I think Mr. Veller is going to have a couple of Bible studies here in December before he takes over his full role, because I saw the bulletin that's going to be coming out. So, all right. And I might scare you with this first sentence, but everybody likes a fight. Now, movie producers know this better than anyone. Have you ever seen, that's why nearly every Western, and my cousin Steve, who's like a year older than me, he loved those Western movies, I'm telling you. And I never liked them as much as him, but I liked them okay. But, virtually every Western movie, every spy thriller, even comedy movies, always have a fight scene. And in many cases, the picture builds up to a dramatic fight at the end. An all-out fist fight sometimes, where tables, chairs, windows, posts, bottles, bodies, nearly everything else is just shattered to pieces. Now, people love it, but why would Christians want to fight? Why would Christians want to fight? But you know, children love to fight. I can remember in grammar school and even in high school, you know, out on the playground, getting in fights. I had this one kid who lived across the street from me, and he would love to fight, but then he'd always go crying home to his mother, and then we'd all get in trouble, including his older brother, who was a little bit more mature. But believe it or not, God made us fighting beings. God made human beings fighting beings. He put in man, he put in women, put in boys, put in girls, the nature to want to fight and conquer. In fact, we cannot really be happy without fighting and conquering. The problem is, though, most people don't know what to fight. We often fight the wrong things. We tend to want to fight other people. We become jealous. We become envious of others. And we fight other people instead of fighting what we should be fighting. Now, God made us fighting creatures, but he demanded us to live in peace, did he not? My title here is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 to begin here. Notice what it says here. In verse 12, Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen the hands that hang down. You know, there are a lot of people in life that go through a lot of trials. I spend more time, Penny said this so many times, that people want to be around me and her in the best of times and the worst of times. And, you know, when we're all happy and somebody's graduating or marriage or something like that, yes, everybody wants to be around. They're all happy, and it's a wonderful thing. But when somebody's going through a tragedy or a serious trial, they want their pastor around. And, hey, I don't always do the best job, but I'm required by God to try to be a comforter. I'm also required to call things out when they're wrong. That's my responsibility as a pastor. Now, verse 12 of Hebrews 12, therefore strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. You know, a word of kindness can go a long way. A word of kindness can go a long way. But notice, verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all men. Now, it's not just talking about men and women in the church. It's talking about we go out of our way to try to be at peace. Look at the election here. In Florida, they're still arguing about it. Still arguing about this. And then if you don't get what you want, then you have to come up with a reason why it's not your fault sometimes. And it's so sad. I mean, Florida, what a reputation we're gaining. What a reputation. I don't remember what year it was. Was it 2008 or whatever it was, the last with all the hanging chads and things, and now we're back to the same thing again. It's so sad. And I'm not saying one side is lily white and one side is lily wrong. I don't know what lily wrong is, but, you know, I'm not saying one side's definitely right and one side's definitely wrong, because we're made to have opinions. And my opinion and your opinion may not always be the same. And it, just because my opinion may not be what your opinion is, doesn't mean my opinion is definitely right. But we can sure talk things out, one would hope. And that's what I have found. I have found people will not come to me and talk. They'll talk behind my back. They'll talk behind each other's back. And quite frankly, that is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. You can prove it from the Bible easily. And I'm not saying that for St. Pete. I would say that, I'll say that for all four of my congregations. Why can't we live in peace? Well, of course I know why we can't live in peace, because I'm going to talk about it today. And this will be the reason we cannot live in peace. It does not mean we're anybody's bad. We're Christians. Pursue peace with all men, but notice, and holiness. We are required to strive to be holy, without which no one will see the Lord. So if we're not striving to be holy, we won't even see. We won't even be in the kingdom of God. Now, we don't want that to happen to any of us, do we? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's the Apostle Paul, verse 12. He says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you." You know who that applies to? Every single person in here. Because every person in here is to be a Christian soldier. We're laboring to please God. And none of us do it perfectly. I certainly don't. There's all kind of faults I have. I know that. But it's harder to see my faults from myself, isn't it? It's harder to see your faults from yourself. Verse 13, esteem them very highly, those who labor, and that includes all of us, those who labor for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourself. In fact, for verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. You know, I'm not the most patient person, but I'm responsible to try to be patient. But patience does not mean ignoring. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. So if you're treated evil, if I'm treated evil, it doesn't give you or me the right to be evil back to the person that treated you evil. Hey, that's clearly in the Bible. Look, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. This isn't in my notes, but I think we should probably read this. We just assume that we all know this, but let's think about it. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. And we drop down to the last of the Beatitudes, the last two. Number 9, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. So if you are persecuted, if I'm persecuted, does that give me the right to go back and try to persecute the person that is persecuting each other? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So we have to be, you know, if we're persecuted because we're out there, you know, doing a barroom brawl fight, Well, maybe we got our things we need to look about. But if we're persecuted for righteous sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. Blessed are you when you are, when they revile you, when they persecute you, and say all kinds of evil things falsely for my sake. Now here's the hard part, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But it's hard to be glad. It's easier to go right back, isn't it? But that's not godly. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before they persecuted you. So here we are again. Now Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Here's the Apostle Paul. Was anybody treated worse than the Apostle Paul? Man, he was treated. I've just been studying Acts. I've been going through a commentary. I just finished it yesterday. And going verse by verse through Acts. Paul just got treated terrible. And I can't find one place in Acts other than when Stephen was martyred and Paul stood there and gave his assent to that. Once Paul was called by God and once Paul became a Christian, I can't see one single place where Paul came back at those that treated him falsely and wrongly. Romans 14, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify one another. It's not edifying for me to get emails complaining about other people. Just forget it. Quit sending me those emails if it would apply to you. Because I probably already know it. And yet, we want to love each other? Do not we want to love each other? You know, I'm the pastor of everybody. I'm the pastor of the little child, the little baby who doesn't even know how to talk, and in some cases I don't even know their name, and I should. I'm the pastor to the oldest person in the congregation, and yet I know I don't do it as well as I could. But we are in this thing together. That's why I want to talk about service afterwards, because we can all think of ways we can serve. We can all think of ways we can serve. So God intends that we fight. But he does not want us to fight each other. There's a seldom a month does not go by that I don't hear about these conflicts and having a hard time with each other. And it's not that one person is good and the other person's bad. It's like, can we work together? Now let's turn to Ephesians. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. So Paul had a lot to feel sorry about. Oh man, he's in prison. He didn't deserve to be in prison. He was falsely accused and falsely put in prison. But he said in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil loves conflict. The devil loves fighting. The devil loves false accusations. He loves it. He never, ever varies from his approach. For we do not, here's the point, every one of us needs to realize we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not really fighting each other. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. They would love to bring Christians in conflict with one another. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We are fighting something very, very evil and very, very strong. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He said that again, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to keep on standing. Stand, therefore, what do we use? Well, gird your waist with the truth. Here's the truth right here in the Bible. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, let's strive to be a righteous person. Nobody earns salvation because nobody doesn't make mistakes. But yet, do we want to be righteous and strive for righteousness? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. You ever have things just pop up in your mind? You think, oh, no, man. And you don't think those thoughts are coming from wrong places? Take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's where we turn to. Praying always. Do we pray? Or do we just get frustrated and have a hard time praying? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We all need to be praying for each other. And then notice what Paul said here in the last two verses here. And as for me, that utterance, pray for me, he said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that people would be able to understand the truth, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul was in jail. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought. So I've got three battlefronts here that I think we all fight. We all have to fight. And, you know, I could probably do more, but I think we can narrow it down to four or three areas that I think you and I, and there are times I look at myself and I think, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. So, hey, I know I'm not perfect. Well, not that anybody thought I was, but but anyway, the first battlefront. You and I have enemies, vicious, clever, murderous enemies. They're spirit beings. Our first enemy is spirit beings. You know, demons who are fighting you and fighting me on a spiritual front. They're assaulting you. They're casting doubt, division, discouragement in our lives. Are they not? They are fighting us. Nothing gives Satan or evil spirits more pleasure than to divert your or my energy and attention from the spiritual fight that we need to be fighting in our own life to where we battle each other, where we battle jealousy, where we battle envy, where we battle hard feelings, where we that greatly pleases Satan to have you or I battling each other. God intends you to fight, but not on your own strength. You have to take the whole armor of God. We just read those scriptures, those verses. God supplies the tools. God supplies the means to battle the devil and Satan the day you were baptized. And even if before you're baptized, the day you started understanding about what the Bible says, the day you started getting serious about how you wanted to live your life, the enemy, Satan and his demons, set out to destroy and kill you spiritually. Remember when I first started attending church years ago, you know, I thought I was religious, but I wasn't as much as I should have been. But I remember going to church, and then I'd miss a week. And I remember one Sabbath, I was going to go to church, but somebody called me at work and wanted me to meet them down at Denny's to talk about work. And I went down there, and I felt guilty, which I'm glad I did. I felt guilty, and we were talking, and then I was driving back to my apartment, and my radiator hose just blew. Stuff was flying all over the road. Now, that could have been just total fluke, but, man, I thought, man, somebody's telling me something. And yet, whether it was just time and chance or not, it got my attention, and I was back the next week. So the day you became serious about being a Christian, and certainly the day you're baptized, if you're baptized, the enemy, Satan, his demons, evil spirits, they set out to destroy you, set out to destroy me, kill you spiritually. Now, you can ignore what I'm saying, but you're doing it at your own peril if you do. Now, I read Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, but the devil is your and my enemy. Now, there's a second battle we have to fight, and that's this world, the society we live in. The society we live in. They'll try to pull you all these different directions, and they kind of, you know, intermingle, I guess you could say, the points. But the second battle is the world, the society you live in, which is trying to pull you apart from what you know God wants you to do. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Here's the Apostle Paul again. Man, he was looking forward to go seeing the Romans, was he not? He wound up in Rome in jail, did he not? But he got to Rome, but it was not the way he had originally planned it to be. chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So Paul said, I'm appealing to you, to the Roman Christians. By the mercies of God. Paul cannot be more emphatic. He's appealing to them, his brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We all make mistakes. Everybody does. But are we striving to be like God? And do not be conformed to this world, to this system that's trying to tear you down. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. You know, when we put our mind on positive things from the Bible, God's way of building each other up, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody makes mistakes. I don't know how many times I got to say that. I make a lot of them, okay? And I hope you realize I care about you because I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor not because I'm some great, well, I'm not great, but, you know, not, I'm your pastor. But I care for all of you. And I want to be in the kingdom of God. And you do too, do you not? So Christians are asked to keep from being conformed to this world. Now, that is not that easy to do. Society around us, attitudes, ways of doing things, trends, styles, government policies, ideologies, religious, educational philosophies, they try to conform you to the pattern of this world rather than what the Bible says. There's some things that the Bible clearly says that our society laughs at and says, that's not right. But what's more important, what the Bible says or what society says? In fact, if you haven't left Romans 12 yet, look at verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil. So if you are treated evil, overcome evil with good. The Bible constantly says that. If you're not treated as well as you should be treated by somebody, don't worry about it. And yet, we all do, don't we? I worry about it when somebody's mean to me, but I try to put it out of my mind because I get criticized all the time. It just comes with the territory. And yet, oftentimes, it is correct, and I need to correct some things. But if you feel you are being treated evil, all you need to do is just keep on being good. Look at Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18 about this system, this society that we live in. Verse 4. It's talking about the fall of Babylon the Great, this this society, the system, the bad that is, and there's plenty of good things in the world, don't get me wrong, but this system is not God's system. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of what? Come out of this false system. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. So if we stay in the system and we go right along with the flow, even if we know it's not right, it says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. God knows the evil that goes on in this world. You've seen it. You can't even get treated fairly in a court sometimes. And yet, we are just told by God to keep on moving on. So you got the devil and the demons. You got this system. And the third thing, and I think this is something we all need to be aware of, is our human nature. My human nature, your human nature. Our human nature tends to get things turned around. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Here's the Apostle Paul. Now, do we have a better example of a person than Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul, he told everyone, I could read a lot of verses here in Romans 7. Look at verse 12. The law is holy. The commandment holy, just and good. So God's laws are holy. They're perfect. So there's no failing on that. But look at verse 21, 22, and 23. Well, let's look at 19 to 23. For the good that I want to do. Here's Paul saying this. Now, can't you identify, and I can identify with what Paul's saying here. The good that I want to do, Paul said, I don't do it. But the evil that I don't want to do, Paul said, that I practice. Do you run into that? I know I do. And you want to be this way, and you find you're doing what you shouldn't do, and what do we do about it? Well, we shouldn't just give up. We should fight it. Paul said, now if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So sin, you know, this human nature that we turn away from God. I find then a law, Paul said, that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, said Paul. Apostle Paul was talking about how much he needed God's help. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death, Paul said. And then he answers his question in the last verse of the chapter. I thank God. That's who is going to release him. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's a war going on inside every person striving to be a Christian, and every Christian. It's human nature fighting you. Human nature resists your efforts to do good. It pulls you in the opposite direction. And yet, we have to fight it. We have to fight it. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be having a Thanksgiving meal today. We have so much to be thankful for by living where we do in this country, in a beautiful part of the country, and just flat being alive. Galatians 5. Verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, it says. So you do not do the things you want to do. Get on this. So what are these works of the flesh? Well, he's got them here. Verse 19 is where it begins. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, that's pretty evident. Fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. Okay, these are pretty evident. Idolatry. Well, we're getting a little bit more able to hide that sometimes. Sorcery. Well, that seems fairly evident. But these are also works of the flesh. Hatred. You and I are not allowed to hate any other human being. And if we do, we need to go to God and repent. Contentions. Well, we all in our life have contentions, but let's work on them. Jealousies. Jealous because somebody may get something you don't have or I don't have. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Heresies. Even envy. These are things that God will forgive our sins. God will forgive any sin. But God's saying through the Apostle Paul, we need to look at each of our own lives and see if there's any of that in there and ask God to clean it up. To clean it up. And then we get very obvious again, like murders. Yeah, when you murder somebody, it's fairly obvious if you're caught. Drunkenness. Yeah, it's kind of easy to see when somebody's drunk. Revelries and the like of which, but here it is. I tell you beforehand, and I'll tell you again, it says, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is our one chance, folks. This is my one chance. And nobody is going to earn salvation, because if we had to earn it, none of us would make it. But we have to strive with every bit of our being to become more like God. And then it says the fruit of the Spirit. How much do we think about this? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow, wouldn't that be nice if we all had an abundance of this? And I include myself. When you were converted, when you received the Holy Spirit, or when you began to become, striving to become like God, God gave you, when you were baptized, He imparted the divine nature of God. But you're still flesh. I'm still flesh. We still are filled with human nature and thoughts and dreams. You know, there's this antagonism going on about the things of God and the things of the flesh. And they actually fight against each other. In other words, there's a constant war going on in my life. And whether you want to admit it or not, there's a constant war going on in your life. And this is it, folks. You're not going to be born a second time and go through it a second time. This is it. God will be merciful in every possible way. But I'm not going to get a retry. You know what? I'm not going to get a retry. If God says, you know what? I gave you the knowledge. I gave you the opportunity, but you turned away from it. Well, you and I must fight our human nature. We have to fight Satan. We have to fight the society that tries to drag us down. But you and I have to fight our human nature. The day you were baptized, if you're baptized, you were drafted into a war, a spiritual war. On the day God made available to you, He made available to you and I the equipment to fight Satan, the demons, the world, and our human nature. Yet it's difficult to recognize that we truly are in a war sometimes. It's difficult for me sometimes to look and see how far I need to realize what I'm dealing with in my life. So God gives some important principles. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Let's look at some principles here to how to deal with what every one of us, every single one of us, is going through. 2 Timothy, the last letter Paul wrote, written almost certainly right before he died. But he was trying to impart this information to fellow Christians. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, my son, Paul was thinking of Timothy as his son. And if you look at John, the Apostle John, who was the last apostle, he's probably the only apostle that was martyred of the original 12 apostles. He called all through 1 John Christians his little children. And here's Paul talking to Timothy and says, "You're my son, Timothy, in the faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul said, Timothy, you've got to be a soldier. And there are going to be times it's not going to be easy being a soldier. And there are going to be hard times. Now, what if a soldier had the attitude, well, I'll fight for my country as long as I have 3 hot meals a day, box springs and mattress, a warm fire, and a stuffed easy chair to sit in at night. Oh, I don't mind shooting as long as I'm not out in the rain or under muddy conditions. I can't stand blood, so I can't afford to miss my favorite TV program on Sunday night, which is Sunday Night Football for Penny and I. Boy, that would be tough, wouldn't it? Yeah. May seem funny, it may seem ridiculous, but Paul is saying we must be hard. We must work on the things that are hard for us. Now, another principle would be in the next verse, verse 4. No one engaged in warfare, and this is a spiritual fight, it's not a physical fight. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please who enlisted him as a soldier. So what's it saying here? It's saying we must not be engaged in things that are going to tear you down. Now, we all get in these situations, but we need to refocus ourselves. You know, in World War II, both the Germans and Japanese realized the principle of warfare. You know, the Germans had this lady who'd speak on the radio waves called Axis Sally, but the Japanese had someone called Tokyo Rose. Now, my father was in the Second World War, and he's told me a little bit about this, but here's how it worked. Over the radio, they would broadcast over radio frequencies readily available to the American and Allied troops. This Tokyo Rose would play to the Americans beautiful American music. She'd talk in a soft, sexy voice to the GIs themselves. Sometimes she would give factual information about what was going on. Other times she just made up names and places. It was all propaganda. And her object was to get the soldiers thinking about their problems back home. Back home. She would try to bring doubts in their minds as to the fidelity of their wives or their sweethearts back home. She'd say things like, "Why are you soldiers fighting this lost cause while your wives or your sweethearts are being taken out dancing and dinners by other men back home? Do you realize your wife or your sweetheart is out with another man?" And yet, some would just laugh at this, but others, sadly, would start having doubts. Well, that's what the devil does in this warfare. His purpose is to get you and me concerned with affairs other than what we're to focus on. And if we do lose our focus, we can be injured or even killed in our spiritual battles. Now, in God's church, we hear a lot of talk about overcoming. Absolutely, 100%, very, very important. But do we always understand what it means to overcome? Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 25. "He or she who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him or her I will give power over the nations." Verse 25, I think I skipped verse 25. Verse 25, "Hold fast what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end, I'll give power over the nations. I could go on. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. It talks to us about each one of these churches. Each one of these churches. Now it's talking about Laodicea. And he says in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door, I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and be with him. And he with me, or she with me. To him or her who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." If you've got an ear, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Have you ever seen a boxing match, a wrestling match, a football game, a basketball game, or other sporting event where the prize, first prize, went to the loser? Losers don't win the prize. So if we lose this fight, it will mean we were conquered, will it not? I don't want to be conquered. You don't want to be conquered. We want to conquer. Now, we have to use God's strength and God's power. We don't have the strength on our own to do it on our own. But this system, this satanic things that go on in the world, our nature that fights against God's way, we need God's strength, God's help. Let's look at the very end of the entire Bible, Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 7, the very end of the Bible, only one other chapter after it. Verse 7 of Revelation 21 says, "He," and always means he or she, "who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So Jesus Christ, in a sense, was the greatest warrior ever. He met the devil on the devil's battlefield and he conquered, did he not? He did none of these things on his own strength. He said he relied upon his Father. John chapter 5, let's starting to bring this to conclusion. John chapter 5. These are the words of Jesus Christ that we're about to read. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in red. Jesus Christ in verse 30 of John 5 said, "I can of myself do nothing." If Jesus Christ said that, shouldn't we even be more emphatic that we know we can do nothing of our own? Well, you can't take your next breath. I can't take my next breath on my own. I could do nothing of myself. "As I hear, I judge," says Jesus Christ. "And my judgment," Jesus Christ's judgment, "is righteous." Mankind will make wrong judgments sometimes. But Jesus Christ, God the Father, never make a mistake. "My judgment's righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So how do you get into God's kingdom? Do you fall in? Do you slide in? Do you just kind of flip a coin? Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus Christ talking right after John the Baptist had died. John the Baptist, who Jesus Christ said was the greatest of all men born of women, until that time at least, probably then. Verse 11, he said, "Assuredly I say to you," words of Jesus Christ, "assuredly I say to you, those born of women, there has not been one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because they'll have eternal life. They'll be spirit. And from the days of John the Baptist, these are the words of Jesus Christ still, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. They fight for it. They don't just turn around and just like, who cares? Now, I looked at the Expositor's Dictionary for that verse. And here's the way it's translated. Those who are possessed of eagerness and zeal, instead of giving up to opposition, press their way into the kingdom. God made mankind to conquer. Man has a fighting nature. That was put inside of us. Mankind will fight something, and if a person is not fighting the right things, they'll wind up fighting the wrong things. In fact, we'll wind up fighting other people instead of fighting Satan, the society of the world, and our human nature. So what about me? What about you? You were designed to conquer. You were designed to overcome. You must win against your human nature. You're pitted against the devil and his demons. You must overcome out the victor. The world is pressing around on you and me, trying to conform you to his patterns. But you must resist. Be driving, intense, forceful when it comes to overcoming these obstacles. Be, as I said, driving, intense, and forceful when it comes to overcoming these obstacles. But be loving, kind, and patient with other people. In my final 3 months here, please quit complaining to me about each other. Notice Paul's statement just before his death in 2 Timothy 4. Verse 6, 7, and 8. Apostle Paul, right at the end of his physical life, here's what he had to say about himself. And Paul was not a braggart. Verse 6, 2 Timothy 4. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. His departure was from this physical life he's talking about. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. None of us are certain. Well, I won't say none of us. I know I look at that. I can't say that. I haven't fought all the way to the end. I haven't finished my race yet. I have to keep the faith. And you have to keep the faith. And Paul said, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. So Paul said he's going to receive that crown of righteousness, eternal life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. But then notice the rest of the sentence. And not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. So Paul described his life as a Christian as a fight. He didn't say, I've lived the good life. He said, I fought the good fight. Can we realize we are in a fight for your eternal life and my eternal life? Final scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy this time. Here's God's admonition to you. Here's God's admonition to me. Verse 11 and 12 of chapter 6. But you, O man or woman of God, flee these things. And he's mentioned the things that are wrong that you need to flee. And pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue patience, pursue gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and it confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So here's Paul's admonition to me, Paul's admonition to you, and that is fight the good fight of faith.